speed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade, where the Paisleys are worth much more than a penny, and the pennies are worth much more than a penny as well. So there you are. How are ya? I'm Mo Abdelbaki, and today is Wednesday, December the 4th, 2024. Holy camoly. Huh. How's that for a year gone by quickly? It's not quite over. We've got 1, 2, 3, count them, 1, 2, 3 Wednesdays left. And one of those, at least one, I won't be here. That's right. And I won't be here probably. I know I won't be here on the one after that. That'll be January the 1st. January the 1st. That's me. So, here we are. Here we are. The solstice is coming up, the winter solstice. In the Western calendar, the beginning of winter. Well, we all know winter started on Samhain. You sure did. Snowed around here. Boy, did we get snow. Yeah, doggies. Did we get snow. It snowed and snowed and snowed and snowed. Our little girl, Coco Bean, she got spayed, like 2 days before snow. And the vets say, you know, don't let her jump. Don't let her get excited. And then it snowed. And it's like, for her first time ever to see snow. And it's like, now remember, don't let her get excited. And every time she went outside, every time she used the facilities, and of course for dogs, the entire great outdoors are facilities. Of course, that's our backyard. And it's like, don't let her get excited. And it's, Dad, what is this great stuff? And it's like, stay calm. Don't pay any attention to it. You don't need to look at it. You don't need to think about it. This is just, and that was really unbelievable. Weren't easy. But winter's here. Of course, we don't have winter like it got almost to 70 degrees today. Oh, but nothing's happening. Don't pay attention to that man with the thermometer over there. Don't pay any attention to that man behind the curtain with the thermometer. He's not real. He's not doing anything noticeable. Just don't pay attention to him. There is no real climate change. That's not happening. Okay. That's just not, it's not happening. It's not real. So, are you okay? Are you doing okay in spite of everything? Are you doing okay? I'm doing okay. Actually, I'm beginning to, I was okay in the beginning of it all. I was like, really? 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 Yeah, the mandate. I know I'm not going to talk about it, but I'm a little bit, just a wee little bit, you know, just a tiny, just a little drop, just a drop or two. I have to talk about it just a wee bit. And why? Because there's an insidious thing happening, and I just want to bring your attention to it, because I believe in knowing what's going on. Look, ever since I was a little kid, I'm a very impressionable guy, and I've had a weight problem my whole life. I don't know that it's a problem. You know, it is now. Now that I'm beginning to, well, it's not good for you. It's not good for me. But it's a family thing. It's because my mom cooked the way she cooked. The old country way. Men my age in the old country have been dead for a while, and I'm very lucky to still be around, you know, and so I'm happy to be here. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy you're listening. That's really nice of you. But one of the things that I noticed when I was a kid, and I did notice it, was that they'd have lots and lots of commercials, because my parents' generation, the greatest generation, because they stopped fascism and stopped Nazis and dictators and all that. Of course, the other side of that is they were the worst generation, those people who were doing it. So it's like, wait a minute, I'm confused. But that's a different story. The people who stopped it were certainly fantastic. The people who didn't weren't so good. So it's like, wow. It was a rough time. A lot of war. World War I, a lot of war. World War II, more war. The Atom Bomb, two of them. Kablooey. And that didn't stop it. The hydrogen bomb, the neutron bomb, all those things were happening. And then we got to learn about it in a history class. And when I was in the first grade, duck and cover drills, you know, duck and cover and kiss your, you know, anyway. So, you know, it was a weird time. Weirdo time. And geez Louise. I haven't had one in a long time, I used to have nuclear dreams. Actually, they were atom bomb dreams, you know, where I would say, oh, there they go, just like mushrooms, boom, 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 all around me. And I haven't had one of those in a long time. And I always decided that should that happen, I'm going to queue up Tumbling Tumbleweeds by the Sons of the Pioneer, 1946, I think. It's the 46 version. It's a great song, old cowboy song. And that's how I'm going to watch it happen. It's just the perfect song for it. I don't believe it's going to happen. But then again, I've been wrong before. You know, ding, as you may know. I don't think that's going to happen. But so I noticed when I was a kid, you'd be watching TV and a Cap'n Crunch commercial would come on. Kids, go get your Cap'n Crunch. And suddenly I'd be sitting in front of the TV with a box of Cap'n Crunch, eating it right out of the box, you know. And here, give it to my brothers. Here, you guys, you want what's left? And the potato chip commercial would come on. This is the best chips in the world. Bet you can't eat just one. And I'd say, I bet you're right, you know. And it was this thing that Madison Avenue discovered. And that was that we were super consumers. Super consumers. That if you wanted to sell to kids. If you wanted to really sell to kids. Sell toys, sell food. Sell everything to kids, because they will twist their parents' arms through nagging and screaming and crying and throwing a fit in the aisle. One of the most amazing things I ever saw in my life, let me tell you this as an aside. I was in a grocery store once, and I saw a kid, it must have been about four, and it was in the pickle aisle. And he picked up this gigantic jar of pickles. And it looked like a barrel. Have you remember those jars? Big jar. And it was on the bottom shelf. And this kid just walked up and he picked up this gigantic jar of pickles. And he picked it up and the mother screamed at him, "You're going to drop that jar of pickles." And he just dropped it. Right there, just dropped it. And it wasn't that far from the ground, but it exploded like shrapnel. I mean, it was like, you know, boom, pickle juice everywhere, glass just exploded. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen, because you're going to drop that jar of pickles. And he just dropped it. And I realized that he had done so because his mother told him he was going to drop the jar of pickles. And he did. And I was in high school at the time. And I thought, wow, kids are so impressionable. And he looked pleased, like, I dropped the jar of pickles. You know, there you go, Mom. And she started screaming at him. And, of course, I was more worried about this kid surrounded by, well, pickles and, you know, shards of glass. And it was really something to watch. And at the same time, at home, they're selling to him as he watches Saturday morning cartoons. Twofold thing going for it. Number one, it had the benefit of babysitting, talking to me, sorry, babysitting for parents, and at the same time, it had the benefit of selling stuff to kids. And so now we're adults. Actually, we're more than adults. Now we're seniors. And it's that world now. It's that world of we've been these super consumers all our lives. And now we're having to deal with this. We're having to deal with this world of having been, and not everyone was like me, not everyone, was so maybe influenced by, maybe I was a little more, and this is a good excuse, yes, I was more influenced because I'm more sensitive than others, because I could pick up on the psychic influences of the other children who were also influenced by, we don't happen to have any Hostess cupcakes in round, do we? I feel like eating them all, you know. But it was something. It was really remarkable, this Madison Avenue push for people to eat, and to buy, and to want, and desire. Now, something else is happening. There's a commercial. Actually, my wife said, look at that guy. She reversed the TV, because now you can reverse TVs. Which is just phenomenal, you know. I'm still amazed by the technology. DVRs, right? So she said, look at this commercial. And it's a commercial from, this is not about politics. This is about what's happening to us now. And I think that we should all be aware of it. I think, you know, people la, 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 and they call us la-las, and they make fun of us because we use tarot cards and astrology, and we allow them to guide us in life, and they make fun of us. They ridicule us when this stuff is going on. Now, just give me a break, okay? Not a break. Give me a second here. So she says, watch this commercial. And here's a commercial with a guy who is playing with his kid an electric train. And it's for Amazon, okay? And the guy looks, spit an image, I think, of J.D. Vance, the new vice president of the United States. And I thought, oh my God, that guy looks a lot like J.D. Vance. And I'm looking at him and I'm saying, but that's a phony beard. It doesn't look like J.D. Vance's. I mean, it looks like J.D. Vance, but it doesn't look like a real beard. It looks like a, you know, Hollywood glue-on beard. And they're having fun. Except I don't think J.D. Vance's eyes look... his eyes don't ever look anything but, I'll just say... malevolent. They look malevolent to me. There's something about them. They never smile. They always look like they're hiding a storm or something. That's just me. I'm just saying it. It just, there's something about them, you know, to me. Just to me. If you just, you know, I always do the eye test in photographs. I just cover up, you know, the part below the eyes and look at the eyes and see what the eyes reveal. Some eyes are warm and gentle and they show kindness. Some don't. So this guy is playing with his train with this kid and they're happy smiling and ha ha ha. And she sits down, look at the wife, and the wife is possibly Indian. And I think, what are they doing here? And I'm thinking, this is very strange, but it's Amazon, which is owned by Jeff Bezos. And Bezos, of course, it was a big Trump supporter and donated hugely. And Bezos owns the Washington Post. And Bezos put a muzzle on the Washington Post, as a matter of fact, which is curtailing the freedom of the press. And so you say to yourself, wait a minute. What's going on here? This is, we're beginning to, it's something fascinating going on. This is going to be the new representation of the family, you know, the family unit. And it's like, we have to be aware. I'm not trying to say, watch out for this. This is evil. I'm not saying it's evil, but I am saying it's something to watch out for. This happened in this country in the 60s with JFK and the Camelot image. And that was press. It was press. And it was different. It was a young family, and it was also, you know, this and that. And that's why it was so devastating when it all went bad. You know, it was, trust me, it was devastating. I was a kid. I was in the third grade when it happened, you know, when JFK was no longer president. And it was a bad, bad thing. And people were devastated, and it was horrifying and all of that. But it was also, it was a PR thing. His whole image was a PR thing because he was not the knight in shining armor that they tried to pretend that he was. He was the son of a rum runner, you know. Anyway, I'm not trying to defame JFK. He was actually a pretty good guy, and I think so anyway, but that's just politics. And I really could care less about politics. I'm more worried about a lot of other things, you know. But the point is that this is really kind of an amazing thing we're seeing with the media today, because it's a fascinating thing. You should watch these things. You should be aware of these things, because the things that people are really worried about, that they're actually worried about, may not be as important as the things that are slipping in under the catcher's mitt, so to speak, you know. This I thought was very fascinating, and I watched it and it annoyed me, and I thought, oh, okay, so we're trying to whitewash the image of this thing already, trying to convince the country of one thing, and it's like, don't try and convince me, you know, convince me with actions, convince me with solutions, convince me with the truth, not with a commercial that's going to make me want to do something. Oh, let me get on Amazon and order an electric train. Wait a minute, my kid is 46 years old, you know, whatever the case may be. So I think it's important that we, as human beings and people who don't just knee-jerk reflexively react, we have to be aware. We have to be aware. I think that's one of the most important things that there is for us to do, is to be aware and to understand what's going on right in front of our eyes, our ears, our noses, our souls, our spirits. Because once they steal that, once they steal our ways of thinking, you know, we're in trouble. And I don't want us to be in trouble. I want us to be free thinkers. So when one of the richest men in the world, like a guy like Jeff Bezos, once he says to the Washington Post, you can't say that anymore, and the Washington Post rebels and says, we're going to say it anyway, and he says, no, you're not. And they acquiesce because they have no choice, then maybe we do have a problem. Freedom of the press. Freedom of the press. And that's what we call an oligarchy, you see. Now, I'm not trying to be political, but remember, people like us, astrologers, tarot readers, that those people who speak what they consider to be the truth are shut down sometimes, right? Now, I still have a voice. and I anticipate that I will have a voice. And of course, that may not always be the case. But we have to stay as stable and as vociferous as we can be. We just have to be. You know, one of the most important things we have is our ability to be truthful to our point of view. And I do not denigrate nor feel bad about anyone else who does not agree with me. That's fine. But, you know, I've been on this path for a long time, and I've been through many different things. I've even been through stages where people have disagreed with me about metaphysics. For example, when they say that Arthur Edward Waite was the greatest metaphysician of his time. And I don't agree with that. I happen to think that Arthur Edward Waite was, you know, he was into his thing. He was actually a very heavily Christian-influenced guy. When in his tarot and in his astrology, he was heavily influenced by Christian philosophies, which is fine. I have nothing against that, but it is not what I consider to be there's nothing wrong with Christianity, and it certainly has a place in modern Hermeticism, since that was the reason. It was Christianity that actually kind of drove everything underground. It drove, you know, the Inquisition was a big part of that. But it also, what they were trying to hide in Hermeticism was a form of agnosticism. Deism sometimes, atheism sometimes, but mostly agnosticism, and freedom of thought and freedom of religion sometimes. Some of the Hermeticists were Muslims. Some of them were just plain deists. You know, some of them were considered themselves to be Essenes. Some of them were just flat-out Hebrews, you know, Jews. So, I mean, it really was a time when people who were not flying the main airline were getting shot down pretty seriously and were being abused. Their properties nationalized. And their money taken. And that was a big part of it, too, was simply, we need to loot these people, take their funds, take everything they have, and take it for the church, essentially, was what was going on. You know, this is a month with Friday the 13th. And don't, you know, freak. That's Friday the 13th is going to happen in any month that has that falls on that begins with a Sunday. So if you, December 1st was a Sunday. So any month that begins on Sunday has Friday the 13th. And that's the way that is. And Friday the 13th has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that it has to do with the story of the Knights Templar and how they were betrayed by Philip the Fair of France and the Pope. Who basically excommunicated them all, and on Friday the 13th, in the year 1307, and had them excommunicated, and they were imprisoned, and all of that, and they were executed. Philip the Fair was executed Jacques de Molay, and Jacques de Molay basically called out a hit for Philip, who was the King of France, and the Pope, Pope Clement, and then a type of orange, but which would be ironic because orange is the color of the Protestants, and of course green the color of the anyway. Is that obtuse. Anyway, so I mean, it all and that whole thing was responsible for it eventually led kind of to Freemasonry and all that sort of thing, or so they claim. And they do make a lot of claims, you know. They once claimed me, they don't anymore. That's a very different story. Pardon me, I have a sip of my tea. Nothing fancy today. Nothing fancy. So we have to keep our head to the wind and listen. Listen to the north, the south, the east, and the west, or the north, the east, the west, and the south, which spells news. And I don't think it's ever a good idea to ignore it completely. It's fascinating. There is a cacophony of chaos going on right now, which I delight in listening to. The chaos is fascinating because the very people who should be the most cohesive in what they're doing are the most ridiculous. And actually, that delights me, although it does at times worry me. But it's good. It's good because it says that, you know, that things are not going the way they thought it would, if that makes sense. So, and this is about us. This is about us. And when I say us, I mean we, the outsiders. And by that, I mean we who are on the outside looking in. I've always been on the outside looking in. I mean, I've always been on the outside looking in. There's a whole side of my family. I had an uncle who died not so long ago, and I loved him very much. And he loved me, I think, but I haven't talked to him in a long time. And my aunt, her husband died, and I loved him very, very much, and I think he loved me. And I called and left a message, but, I left a message. She didn't pick up. And I think I'm a bit of an outcast. And the reason might be because I'm so unconventional. Do you know that feeling? Do you? I'll bet you might. If you're listening to me, and I don't know who listens and who doesn't, I don't know how many listen and who don't, but I do know that many of the people who do feel like outcasts, or feel like they are individuals, or may feel, not alone, but they may feel unique, and that they are not like the rest of the pack, but they do feel like they're a part of something, something unique and different, you see. For example, I'm a deadhead, but I've never been to a Grateful Dead concert. You know why? Because I wasn't one of them. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I loved them. I had friends who were them. And I loved them. And I hugged them. You know? And I hung out with them. But traveling to Nebraska in a VW microbus, not bathing for days, and shoplifting. I'm not a shoplifter. I wasn't then. I'm not now. I could never do it. Scrounging tickets. Not that they always did, but sometimes you had to in that world. Hustling, doing whatever they had to do was not me. That was not my version of the world. I couldn't do it. I couldn't see it. I couldn't, you know, I liked eating, obviously, but they were, you know, scrounging. They might have $30 between them for 3 weeks. I had enough of that at Mardi Gras for 3 days, 5 days sometimes. But that was not me. I had a different point of view. I don't know. You're unique. You know what you like. You know your taste in music, and it may not run along with everybody else's. You know, you like, maybe you like comfort. I like comfort, you know? You have your way of looking at things. You're perhaps more emotional than others. Maybe you're less emotional than others. You know who you are. You know who you are. And then there are times when maybe you feel a little lost. I mean, I'm saying you're different than others. and you don't necessarily fit into the normal. I'm actually doing a comic on this right now, like a comic book. I've got two pages done, and it's not like a sequential thing. It's just kind of it is, but I'm starting the third, and I don't know why I'm doing it. I may do it until I get tired of it. But it's strange. But the creativity has welled up inside of me, and I cannot stop. It is just, and I've learned this in my life, and it's a lesson that I hope you learn too. And that is when creativity comes in such a way that you cannot stop it. Don't try to stop it. Let it come. Let it do what it does. I started out as a cartoon. I don't try and do much that isn't cartoony. And when it comes up, you just let it be, and it's turning out kind of nice. But I don't think I'll try, unless, you know, who knows, seniors. I don't have anything else to try and sell to AARP. You know, here you go. But it's one of those things where you just say that creativity is its own, whatever it is. You know who you are. And that is the most important part of being who we are. Even if we don't have a clue. When we were young, when I was young, it was the big cry was, we're looking for ourselves. And that was maybe the biggest part of it. You know, Alice Brock died. And for a lot of you, you'll immediately know who she was. Maybe many of you don't. Alice Brock was the lady behind Alice's Restaurant. And I think I talked about her last week. See, I'm getting old. I don't remember if I did or not. But the song Alice's Restaurant was a big deal in my generation. There was a movie, Alice's Restaurant, which we all went to stoned. I mean, I have to be honest. You know, we just, so I don't really, I know I saw it. I know it was way too long. That I remember. And it's Arlo Guthrie who wrote the song with Alice, the first part. And it's quite a story. You know, it's 18 and a half minutes long. It's the first half of the album. It's, you know, the A side. And the B side has some good songs on it, like, you know, the motorcycle song, which is a kind of a favorite. But it was a time when we were decidedly anti, not everything, but not, we were just not them. And it's been a long time since anyone has said, I'm not them, but I've always been not them. And I think that the time has come for us to say, we're not them. And it's okay to say we're not them, you know? And let's face it, we may be hanging around a lot of them. I'm not one of them. And I haven't been one of them ever, you know? But I hang around a lot of them. I don't really hang around a lot of anybody, but, you know, I'll be honest with you. Man, there's a lot of them around. I mean, squares, you know what I mean? I mean, just people who are uptight. People who live in some other world where they're the establishment and just, I don't know, what is it? People who have this view of the world where everything is very square and everything is very, this is how we do things, and these hang-ups about everything. Man, what happened? What happened to the world? I mean, I agree. You know, the whole free sex thing, it didn't work so well. Now there's a different sort of thing. It's like this strange promiscuity that, you know, it seems very kind of forced to me. I don't understand it. And I'm too old to take advantage of it now, you know. It's like, no, no, that's okay, you know. No. You know, my wife would kill me, and it would probably kill me just even think about it, you know. That's all right. Yeah, we were actually, honestly, back in the 60s and 70s, we were pretty uptight about it all. I mean, it really was kind of a fairy tale, the whole sexual revolution. There were people who tried to do that, and it was all kind of made up. I mean, I knew people who had open marriages, and I never saw one that worked, you know. But we tried on a lot of other things. We tried. But man, look at what's happening. This kind of reverse bizarro world. Remember Superman had a bizarro world? Yeah, there was bizarro Jimmy Olsen and bizarro Superman and bizarro Lois Lane. It's like there's this bizarro world now. And we're having to try and deal with that. Let's be us. I don't think... And so we just need to be careful. That's all. That's all. Just be us. So many squares. I don't know. Maybe that's not the right word. Maybe that's cruel. I have no idea anymore. All I know is that the most important thing about being us is just to be kind of relaxed and to be aware. And that is the main thing I really think we need to leave with today. Is just to be open to being manipulated. Not be... You know what I mean. Be open to the concept that we are being manipulated. Because I don't think a lot of people realize it. That commercial... Because I don't watch commercials. I use that time to do other things like draw, you know, or whatever I'm doing. But that commercial, I think, is designed... to normalize something that is absolutely abnormal, you know? And that really bothers me. From one of the richest men in the world, saying, okay, I want this commercial made. I want it to look like this guy. And I want people to like him. You know, show him playing with his kid. And by the way, get him to buy some trains from Amazon. I think that's a great idea. And now that's nothing wrong with that. I don't see a problem with that. I think, yeah, I had an electric train when I was a kid, and I loved it. I loved it. I wish I still had it. You know, long gone. When you have little brothers who are intent on destroying your stuff. But I think that we're at a time where we have to be open-eyed and just say, okay, let's not be paranoid, because I don't like paranoia either. I don't like it. I've been paranoid before. My mother was a very paranoid person, really paranoid. My brothers, my sister, and I, we talk about that because all of us have it. And it's not a fun thing when she bequeaths that to you. Yeah. Hey, kids, by the way, here's what I'm leaving you. Good luck. Yeah, she had it bad. And I think a lot of it was because she just saw things in this country from a little different point of view. Something to think about. Sip of tea, pardon me. Yeah, kind of interesting stuff. But you get to a point in life where you just say, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I do think that we who are in this mindset of the world, where we look at things differently, where we know that there are elemental forces bearing down upon the earth, where we know that things are not as simple, where we believe in a Mercury retrograde, where we don't believe that it's disastrous, the way a lot of people do, but we know that it has influence, you know. I'm the image I get right now is a very, wow, that's quite an image, yeah, is of a very meticulous system being built out of fragile China, not the country, the stuff. And that it's just very fragile. And we'll just see how it goes, you know? We'll just see how it goes. And I'm not worried about it because I think there are other things to be worried about. But I'm looking at this country now. And for example, Whoopi Goldberg, Monjovi. It's a weight loss formula. And Jim Gaffigan has an entire comedy special about how he lost weight on this Monjovi, I think it is. And he's admitting it. And it's funny. It's very well done, but it's a drug that he used to lose a lot of weight. And he admits it. And he says, yeah, I lost my weight on this stuff. And I'll be honest, I talked to my doctor about it. And I'm on Medicare, and because I'm ancient. And he looked at me and said, you can't get on it. You know, I'd have to describe you as being this and this and this and this and this, and you're not. You're in pretty good health, relatively speaking. You know, for this old guy that you are, you don't have these problems yet. Well, we can try and put you through the ringer and try and make you sicker than you are. I'm willing to do that if you're willing to, you know. And I said, no, let's not do that. You know, I just don't feel like that. And here's something to think about. When I meditated, every day, twice a day, at the end of a year, I had lost nearly 100 pounds. Think about that. Every day, twice a day, and like a dummy, I quit meditating after about 2 or 3 years. And the reason I did is because a guy told me a story that should have been just hilarious in his eyes. I don't think it was that funny to this day, but he thought it was hilarious. And I was like, okay, I felt it was about a squirrel and how he tried to rehome a squirrel because you can't hurt a squirrel. And all I did was feel compassion and sadness for the squirrel because it inconvenienced him. And I just felt nothing but sadness for the squirrel, you know. But that's because I was meditating. And I just thought that what happened was bad for the squirrel. And so I did not feel the way he felt about it. And so consequently, and I found that my sense of humor had changed. And that all I did was feel more compassion for people, which that never changed. But then after I stopped meditating, I began to gain some weight, but I didn't gain all of it. I used to be bigger than I am. Yeah. I wore much bigger pants. And I didn't gain that much weight back. But I didn't keep it up. Because I found that I had lost a lot of the... Gaffigan said it pretty clearly. He said you lose a lot of the passion that you had. And it's not passion. He said you lose the passion for food. You lose... What you lose is a lot of the... something. What would it be? Not the joy, but the impulse. You know. Oh, I just ate a sandwich. You know, let me try some dessert. Let me try this thing. Let me try that thing. It is, it's impulse. Maybe that's what it is. And you just suddenly find yourself centered and you say, you know, I'm just going to eat this and that's enough. And that's what I found when I was meditating. And so maybe there's some people who just naturally do that. But what I think modern advertising has done is it has destroyed that in so many people and instead has really allowed, it has learned to control that thermostat in people and turned it up to 90 so that people are impulsive all the time. So that you want to buy all the time. You want to have something all the time. You want to eat all the time. You know, that's how that's what I think the society is based upon. They said people on, you know, Friday, Black Friday, they bought more money. They'd spent more money than ever before, and yet people are complaining about the economy. Something like, I don't know, I didn't hear the number, but it was billions and billions of dollars. And yet people were saying the economy was the worst it's ever been. Who said that? Who said that? Who said the economy was the worst it's ever been? Well, some authority, and that's what they elected the new president on. The worst economy ever. And yet they spent more money than they've ever spent before. Well, how can that be? You see what I'm saying? It's all made up. It's all so there's this is the thing that is just confounding, isn't it? It's like, wait a minute. So we need to think for ourselves. And so now there's this drug that kind of supposedly centers you and keeps you from eating, and I'm thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind getting a drug that would keep me, you know, help me slim down because I might live a few more years. But actually, it seems to me that the real solution is in my head. It's a mantra. All I have to do is sit down and repeat it. Om Mani Padme Hum, or whatever my mantra is, and do it twice a day, every day. You might miss a day here or there, but, and it just happens. And you suddenly find yourself, I was surprised when I started losing weight. I had no idea. Suddenly my pants were getting loose and baggy and my shirts were getting back. And I thought there was something wrong with me. I went to the doctor, said, Doc, I'm losing weight. He said, oh, you're fine. And I thought, oh, okay. See, it has to do with centering. And when we are constantly distracted or they are constantly hypnotizing us, planting these little suggestions over and over and over again. And it doesn't mean you don't watch TV. It doesn't mean you don't read the news or watch the news. It means you are simply aware. And I'm still working on it. I mean, yes, Mo, why don't you meditate? You know why? Because it's just, sometimes it's just hard to get started. I really need to do it again, you know. Tell me. I know. Trust me. My life has been incredibly hectic and chaotic. 2024 and 2023 were both basically difficult years. And when our beloved pup died in June, that just tore my guts out. Thank God it's better now. Better now. But not easy. And you know how that is. It's not an excuse. There is no good excuse. But it's truth. Life is like that. We have to acknowledge the truth of life. And that is that life can be extremely difficult. You know? It's that old saying, how are you? Well, I don't have any complaints, beside if I did. No one would listen to them. And there's some truth to that. People really don't want to hear your complaints. There are some that do, but generally they're about 125 an hour, you know, or more, or less. But the point is, is that it's very, very difficult, to get in a place where you are aware. So we have to start a little bit at a time. And I'm saying, let's just start. We all, perhaps, had a great shock this past November. And we have to get over that shock and say, okay, now what do we do? Well, we just wake up a little bit and say, okay, now what's happening now? Why is there a commercial on that shows a young man who looks a lot like J.D. Vance talking to his son and having a good time with a train and a wife that might be, she might be South Asian, you know, East Asian, whatever. She might not be. She might be Latina. Who knows? But definitely, there's a message there, and it's by Amazon, and Amazon supported, Jeff Bezos supported Donald Trump, and Jeff Bezos also stopped the Washington Post from certain things, and they stopped an editorial against Donald Trump, and so we know that there's some freedom of the press being curtailed there, and all of that could just be my paranoia, maybe, maybe not. Either way, we have to be aware and alert. Just that there may be someone trying to make us like someone in office. Or maybe it's just pure coincidence? The guy's wearing a fake beard? I'm sure of it. If you see it, you can make your decision. It just doesn't fit his face. Yeah. I mean, my big old scraggly white beard fits my face. It would also fit a walrus, you know. I'm just saying. So this is a time, actually it's always a time, to just kind of be aware of who we are. We are here for a reason. I will say that again. We are here for a reason. And our reason, I'm not here to proselytize. We are here to carry a light. That's all. The light within us. And I have this show, and sometimes I ramble incoherently, and sometimes I feel I just have to say something that's important, and other times I just feel it's up to me to, you know, release a little air. So that the dirigible doesn't fly off into the sun and explode. But we are all together in this. Every single one of us. We are all together in this. And it's all about love. You know, if I didn't love you, I'd talk about hog prices and soybeans. Except I know nothing about them. Which would be great, because I could just make them up. I could say, you know, the hog prices today were equal to those balloons that they make toy dogs out of. You know, those little dogs, and they squeak. I used to make those, by the way. When you do that, you're called a twister. I was a twister. I made, and this is not an exaggeration, hundreds of thousands of balloon animals and swords and hats, and in my day, I was good. And I was pretty fast, hundreds of thousands. I didn't blow them up because I knew people who got aneurysms in their eye, not aneurysms, they just broke blood vessels in their eyes and they got problems with their throats. And so I used a pump, a little air pump. So it slowed her down a little bit, but I was back as Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro. See what he can do. I should play that on this again, on this show again, just to keep my legend alive. Oh, the absurdity of my existence. All right. My friends, we are here. And we are so lucky to be here at this time. Don't be afraid. So many people are freaking out. Nothing to freak out about. Not yet. Do you see the chaos they're having to deal with? Do you see the infighting that's going on? When in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. Amen. Until next week, my friends. We are in December. Buy a candy cane. Throw some tinsel, although it's not very ecologically friendly. Till next week, I wish you all peace and love. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade.